Welcome to Gruesome, your horrific true crime mini episode with Connie. She's going to tell us about it. I don't know what she's going to tell us about, but something.
Oh, yeah, I didn't tell you usually. true crime fans, this was a huge week in true crime. Per the huge, it's been like huge weeks before. But, like, this, I feel, like, after Megan's mega buzzkill a couple weeks ago.
Dude, such a bummer.
Oof. This is still a buzzkill, but not as much. So, tonight, we're going to talk about baby Holly. Because, holy cannoli, this was huge.
Yeah, that is crazy.
Tina Gale Klaus and Harold Dean Klaus Jr. met in Florida, immediately fell in love. Shortly after, they moved to Lewisville, Texas, right outside of Dallas in 1980. Harold had told his family he was moving there for work. When they first moved to Texas, communication with their family was pretty frequent. Everyone was keeping in touch. But it wasn't long after they settled in that Harold's mom, Donna, got a phone call from someone named Sister Susan, who told her that the couple had joined the religious group she belonged to and had decided to give up their possessions and cut off contact with their families. Now, this wasn't a shock to his family because Harold had previously joined a cult as well. Because let's call this one.
I'm sorry. I shouldn't laugh at that because I know it's like very manipulative and dangerous. But so I was like, oh yeah, that sounds like something he'd do. Harold.
Sister Susan told Donna that she could meet her at the racetrack in Daytona Beach, Florida, to return the couple's car in exchange for $1,000. Donna met three women dressed in robes. They returned the car that Donna had loaned to her son on their trip out. Police were notified of that meeting and took Sister Susan into custody that night. But nothing ever happened after that. And that would be the last time that Donna heard about her son until 2021. A year after the couple had moved to Texas, two bodies were found in Houston. The man appeared to have been beaten to death, and the woman died from apparent strangulation. Once their remains were found, Mary, I think it's Ms., Harris County's forensic artist, drew recreations of the victims, like tried to reconstruct them. However, when they were showing the images around the area, no one recognized them because the family had just moved to Houston. And like I said, Harold had joined a cult prior to meeting Tina. So the family didn't really question what these women had told them. And they always asked around. They were always looking for the couple. And they were always looking for the couple's one-year-old daughter, Holly. It wasn't until 2021 when Allison Peacock, the senior forensic genealogist, who I love a genealogist, was working the case. She had been contracted by Identifiers International, and it's a new program that I think I'm going to fangirl over even more, but it is like advanced genetic testing. It is more advanced than the testing like that goes into CODIS, which is like, you guys know how I feel about CODIS.
Genetic testing deep cuts.
One of the companies that funds grants for Identifiers International is AudioChuck, their nonprofit Season of Justice. So I want to say a big suck it to all of those people who are like, oh, we have these armchair detectives. These podcasters are doing work. Like,
it's specifically AudioChuck. Like, they have several things.
Yes.
Like that.
Yes, AudioChuck is like the bee's knees when it comes to giving back to like the true crime, like to helping close these cold cases. But they put the information into GEDmatch.com, and it didn't take long after for her to be able to call Donna. Peacock's first question to the family was, do you have a family relative that disappeared a long time ago? She was, when she was on the phone, she was talking to Debbie Brooks, which is Harold's sister. Debbie said, yes, I have a brother that disappeared about 40 years ago, Harold Dean Klaus Jr. Peacock responded with, we found him. He was murdered. Debbie asked how he had been murdered, but she, Peacock didn't give him any of the specifics about what had happened. But she did tell him, like, they had found his body back in January of 1981. So they were just Jane and John Doe's that whole time because no one knew who they were. Peacock said that the moment of being able to tell them about her brother was overshadowed, like, almost immediately, because Debbie immediately asked, well, did you find the baby? To which Peacock responded, what baby? Police recently discovered that two women who were members of the nomadic religious group Sister Susan belonged to dropped Holly off at a church in Arizona as an infant. Holly was adopted, like legally adopted. The adopted parents aren't suspected of like any wrongdoing. They just adopted this baby girl and they loved her as such. And it's unclear specifically what led police and investigators to be able to connect the dots that Holly was who she was, like who she is. They did not find Holly through DNA. She was not used, like they did not use genealogy to discover who she was. They called it good old fashioned police work, which we love to see it. They said it was strictly on an investigative level. And honestly, Peacock said that she couldn't have ever predicted it. Like, she didn't think that it was something that was going to happen. The Texas Attorney General's office has not specified how they found her for fear of, I mean, because this is an ongoing investigation into who killed their parents and took her, because it is widely speculated that the cult that Sister Susan belonged to is definitely involved. The two women who dropped baby Holly at the church were wearing white robes. They were barefoot, and they indicated that the beliefs of the religion included the separation of male and female members. They were practicing vegetarians, and they would not use any, like, leather goods. So I would say, like, vegans. Yeah. They're, like, barefoot vegans.
Barefoot with, like, vegan cult.
The women indicated that they had given up a baby before at a laundromat.
A person doing their laundry?
Cult experts say that the only people who match that description are the religious group called themselves the Christ family. It's not a religious group, it's a cult. But Holly, who is now 42, is alive and well. She has been notified of the identities of her biological parents and what had happened, and she is in contact with her extended biological family. She lives in Oklahoma. She's the mother of 5 children. And further details are not being released in order to protect her privacy and the ongoing investigation, but this is huge.
That's so cool. Could you imagine, like, doing all that work and being like, I'm going to reunite this person and her long lost family member, and then they're like, but what about the baby? And you're like, what? Oh no, I wasn't prepared.
Yeah, because they had no idea. They just knew that, like, this was a married couple. Well, they didn't know that they were a married couple. Their bodies were found, like, out in the woods, and at first they thought maybe, like, they were passerbyers. Like, they didn't know. Like, no one knew until.
What about the Christ family? Like, what indicates, do they always give up their babies?
No, they have. I didn't go too far into it just because, like, you know, it is a mini episode and they seem like they could have a whole episode on their own, obviously. But they are.
I've just pulled up their wiki. It doesn't even really say.
So originally the Christ family was led by Charles McHugh, who went by the name Lightning Amen. And who has told people he was God's representative.
That sounds like God's PR guy. Like, I'm PR for God, Lightning, Amen. Just sounds terrible.
The group is now defunct. Their leader, like, died or something.
That's not supposed to happen.
Not to Lightning, Amen.
Lightning Amen.
But like, obviously, so Lightning Amen went on the run with some of his followers in 1987. A jury convicted him of possessing and transporting methamphetamine for sales.
Surprise.
Yeah. So I'm assuming that the group that gave up the baby to the church, it's the same group that murdered her parents.
Yikes.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that crazy? And it's really cool. Like, I hope at some point, like, we can get to, you know, I don't think we're ever going to have like 100 podcasts like Audio Chuck does, but like, I would love to get to a point like financially where we can also contribute in the way
start
like they
something
are.
Like that.
Yeah, because it is amazing. Like, it's amazing. And honestly, as cheesy as it sounds, it's so inspiring.
It is really inspiring. It's sick.
And I love women, boss bitch women like that. And they're from Indiana, which makes it even better.
Double whammy.
But yeah. Can you imagine having someone knock on your door and this is a life you've lived, like your parents are your parents, you know? And they're like, oh yeah, no, your parents were murdered and you were adopted. And you're like, what?
Oh, okay.
What are you talking about? Are you serious?
Oh, that is wild.
I couldn't imagine. Like, I couldn't imagine, like, I mean,
I couldn't imagine being that person, yeah, who was like, my parents were murdered and I have a whole other family. Like, that would throw me for a loop for sure.
I have the personality, I think. I think I would, I don't know if I would be able to, after 42 years, you know, I don't know if I would be able to pursue, like,
a relationship.
Yeah, like, not anything.
And it wouldn't be their fault or anything. It's just like, what can you do, you know?
Yeah, like, that's a long time. And, like, I feel the same, like, it's sad. I think about the same where there's been, you know, kids who are kidnapped young and they, you know, it's
like when babies are kidnapped out of the hospital and then they grow up with like a, you know, yes, someone who loved them, but also like
they also kidnapped them.
They also kidnapped them and took them from like their rightful family. But as far as they know, nothing.
What about the babies who were switched at birth?
Oh, yeah, that's crazy too.
It's like your entire life that like it's.
It's terrifying.
That's honestly terrifying. That type of stuff keeps me up like way more often than it should. Like, what if one of my kids were switched at birth? I mean, now they don't because it's like a baby alarm system every time you try to even take them out of the room.
Yeah, which is good. It's awesome.
Yeah, there's a need for it or they wouldn't have it.
Yeah, for sure.
But I just thought it was good to. Because I was so screwed. Like, it was such a heavy, like, bonus episode that I was, when this story broke, one of my sisters texted me and she was like, hey, did you see this? They found baby Holly. And because I remember when their remains were identified and, like, there was this, like, hey, there was a baby involved. I remember reading about it then. Mm-hmm. And then finding out that she's alive, like, holy crap. And that's a long, that's 20 years of, literally 20 years that they went missing, like that their bodies were found until they were identified.
Yeah.
So that's a lot of emotion right there. And like that high of being able, like you said, being able to call the family and be like, we, unfortunately, like they were murdered, but we are able to give you some of the closure. Because I couldn't imagine my kids just, me thinking my kids joined a cult and never wanted to speak to me again. But
yeah, I would be like, no, that's not happening. I don't care that you're an adult.
And she
find the cult.
There, his mom like paid this woman $1,000 to get her car back. So not only did like they extort her for money, they had also murdered her kid and his wife.
Yeah, I hope she gets vengeance.
I want to see Sister Susan in the street just pop.
I want to see someone who goes by Sister Susan and is a barefoot vegan in a white gown. That would be.
Yeah, you're not going to be. You're going to stand out like a sore thumb and I'm going to fight you on sight. Unless we're in like the Oregon District of Ohio, like in Dayton, because sometimes there are barefoot vegans running around. But I won't punch you. Not you guys.
Nothing wrong with being vegan either.
No, absolutely not. I love the idea of it. I love cheese way too much. And I've tried the fake cheese and it's just not sitting right for like my dairy feet and bones.
Yeah, I think I could probably do vegan if I
you probably should do
wanted
vegan.
You're- to spend that much money on groceries, like in order to be able to make like really it's just a lot of
That's the stuff. Best thing about gluten-free is like it's really easy to do now.
It is. There's like a lot
of things. Like things are a lot like more affordable, but like vegan is very expensive. But as much as like your lactose acts up, like you should definitely be vegan.
I know. Well, I normally don't. I try not to do cheese. I like pick my pizza toppings off and everything. It's sad. It's a sad life.
I know.
Completely opposite. No. Did you see Ryan Gosling as Ken? The new Barbie movie?
Yeah.
And Margot Robbie as Barbie. I'm really excited about it. It looks like it's going to be so campy. I'm hyped.
You know, I love Margot as Barbie, but I'm not sold on Ryan yet as Ken.
No, he looks like, well, do you see that people are like, I hope he's magic earring Ken. Have you heard about the magic earring Ken thing?
Mm-mm.
So in like 1996, Mattel released Magic Earring Ken. And Magic Earring, they were getting feedback that Ken was not cool enough. So they went to like raves and parties to like see what was cool, like what they wanted. But the men who go to raves are at the time were mostly gay men. So they released Magic Earring Barbie and he has like a necklace with like a circular ring that everybody's like, that's a cock ring. He has a like pleather vest and just like short shorts. But he was like, he was Mattel's answer to like, this is what cool guys look like. This is what cool guys like. And it is their best selling Ken doll of all time. Of all time.
Oh my God. If you try to buy it on Etsy, it's like $145.
Yeah, they're awesome. So I'm really hoping that it's Magic Earring Barbie.
I really like Magic Earring Ken.
Yeah. He flew off the shelves. But when Mattel found out that they were like, oh, whoops, they pulled him. They pulled him. He was only on the shelves for 6 weeks, which is why it's so crazy that even now he's still the number one selling Ken doll.
Because sometimes
you
kind of
want one though, right?
Yeah, I want one now. But every Barbie we have in our house ends up like naked and its hair's half cut off. And I couldn't do that to Magic Earring Ken. He would have to be on my shelf.
He'd have to stay on the shelf. Yeah.
We'd have to stay on the shelf.
Maybe It'd be like Buzz. It's like a new grail we have to look for when we're thrifting.
Magic Earring Ken.
Mm-hmm. When you're in the Barbie
with
section.
With the cock ring around his neck.
With the cock ring, yeah. And he had one on his belt loop as well. There was two.
I love
one
that.
Like on a necklace.
I love that. I love it. I love that for men who were going to raves that Barbie or Mattel was like, this is a cool guy. Because like, that is a representation. Cool. Like you walk by and you're like, hell yeah, that's me.
They're right. Those are the cool guys. Like
they
those guys
are the
cool
guys.
As fuck.
Yeah, like basketball coach Ken, suck it, because Magic Earring Ken is way better. Who would you have made Ken instead of Ryan Gosling?
I think Ryan Gosling's a little old to play Ken. I always picture Ken as someone who is much younger. I might have went KJ Apa. Who's like Archie from Riverdale.
Yeah, that would be a good one. That would be a great one.
Yeah, I feel like
And I love Ryan Gosling. But I'm trying to think. I have to agree,
and like,
KJ
like
Apa.
I said, I'm not trying to age shame him. I just feel like when I think of Barbie and Ken, I don't think of them as like...
No, because I watch the show on Netflix all the time. And
they're like kids.
They're like teenagers.
Yeah.
Maybe college age. I do love Margot as Barbie, though.
Yeah, she looks awesome. I just think it's going to be so campy and, like, silly. I already see those vibes. So I'm like, oh, I'm ready.
People are going to hate it, but, like, most people are going to love it.
I know. I wonder what it's going to be rated, because, like, I want to take my kid, but...
Yeah.
Maybe they're trying a Deadpool Barbie, which I'm also okay with.
Wouldn't that be awesome?
That would be so cool. I would be so ecstatic about it.
I don't see him as that. Honestly, his blonde is weird. Like, I always pictured him more of like a dirty blonde.
Yeah.
You know, I'm with you, KJ Apa.
Yeah, he would be good. I'm like young actors in general.
Let me look.
I see. I immediately go to those, like those Riverdale kids, because those are like the young people that I can think of right now. Or even that kid that they got to play Elvis in that new Elvis movie, Austin Butler.
Oh, I think he would be fine. He would have been great.
Yeah, he would have been really good.
He's got the
or job. Like Ross Lynch, I think maybe could have done it. I think he'd have to like be taller, maybe. I think he seems little. He seems small. But Ross Lynch is from Sabrina. So again, yeah. I'm like going back to like the Archie comic. Well, even like shows.
Zac Efron.
No, I think he's too beefy now.
Yeah, he did get real fit.
He's like thick with two C's.
I love to see it. On that note, I gotta go to bed.
Nah.
Sorry, guys. Bye.